Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board once again today as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we do so, we face the issues based on the authority of Scripture. We're going to be talking about today strength on our knees, praying for America. Strength on our knees, praying for America. Dr. Phelps and I will be talking about the need for prayer and what the Bible says about prayer and how we should view prayer in our individual lives. Let me remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that you can join in this dialogue and discussion today by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone number gets your call directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can hear your input, respond to your dialogue, and have input and dialogue together. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. So often individuals will face an issue or problem or difficulty. I call them issues, and we all have them. Many times people will face them, and as they do, they'll seek answers from psychologists and psychiatrists and other venues and avenues rather than going to the Word of God. May I suggest the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God is the place to turn to. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Word of God. The Word of God is not just a place where you find a tidbit of truth, or occasional truth, or truth on a few things. The Word of God gives us truth on all issues. When I say all issues, I'm talking about the three major areas that we talk about in life. You see, God created the home, he created government, and he created the church, and he did so in that order. So any issue that we talk about, any question that we have, any dialogue and discussion about any of those issues, whether it be home, church, theological, doctrinal, biblical, family member, family matters, etc., or in the realm of what is so often called government or politics, all of those areas, ladies and gentlemen, covers the totality of your life and mine, covers the totality of what God tells us in his word on how to respond to those issues and how to handle them. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time also carries home brand, homeowners brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries the hurricane preparedness equipment and hurricane cleanup equipment also, like chainsaws and so forth. They have a full-time, knowledgeable staff on hand to explain to you how to use all of the equipment that they sell. May I remind us, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. It's the place where the 165-foot Old Glory flag, U.S. United States flag, is flying. That's your benchmark. Look them up, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we think about the subject today, strength on our knees, that is prayer, praying for America. I think much too often we think about military power, knowledge and genius in the realm of stratagem and the approach that we'll take to handle issues and problems, when most often the greatest source of power is on our knees before God. Perhaps you've heard me use the illustration on one occasion. Man and his wife had been having a lot of problems, and he came home from work and found her in the living room, kneeling before the couch. And he said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm praying." He said, "Well, I knew it was bad, but I didn't know it was that bad." Somehow there's a feeling that the only time we pray is when it's bad or when it's horrible or very bad. Perhaps you recall, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not a movie goer, but I did enjoy one that had been, I think it was on DVD after it had already been on the big screen. It was the movie called God Is Not Dead. Perhaps you watched that movie. It had some very, very poignant lessons to be taught in that movie. The movie was with Josh Wheaton. Josh Wheaton was a Christian student. He enrolled in a philosophy class that was taught by Professor Jeffrey Radisson. Jeffrey Radisson, his professor, was an absolute sold-out atheist. And that atheist, the professor, demanded that his student sign a declaration. And that declaration was that God is dead. In fact, on the movie, each one had a sheet of paper, and each one slowly and carefully pondered and looked and surrendered, gave in, wrote on the paper, God is dead, passed it to the end of the to the end of the row and passed it on down to the professor. There was only one student in the class that refused to sign that declaration. His name was Josh. Josh did not sign that declaration. And he had a battle as a result of that with that professor for the entire semester, because the professor said that unless you signed that declaration that God is dead, you could not pass the class. You see, it took dedication and real faith and commitment to stand alone for God. But in the end, it was Josh that had the victory, and it was Jeffrey, the professor, that faced defeat. So, ladies and gentlemen, many times it is a matter of taking a stand and believing God and believing God's word. And that's what we're talking about today. I have Dr. Phelps with me. Dr. Phelps is the theology and Bible professor in Conservative Theological University. We're going to be talking together today about on our knees, strength on our knees, praying for America, and what we need to do in that broad picture of prayer. I believe much too often, ladies and gentlemen, Christians are defeated, discouraged, down, because we fail to stand for truth of the Word of God and what God's Word says. Dr. Phelps, I believe the key to Christian strength today and for wisdom is found in the Word of God, the Bible. And the Bible gives us major directions for strength and protection through His Word. And much of what we are called upon to do is communicate with God through prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Phelps has written a book published a few years back, God Works Through Prayer, subtitled Ask Anything in My Name. Dr. Phelps, tell our listeners a little about this book and why it was written and what it contains and why it's such a good book for people of prayer that wants to search the scripture about prayer.
One of the reasons I wrote this book was that I believe that all of us should be involved in prayer. And I state in the book, the purpose of this publication is to stir up the hearts of God's people to participate in the privilege and responsibility of prayer. We have the testimony of the scriptures that God works when His people pray. In John chapter 14, Jesus promised that God will do His work of ministry through us when we ask in Jesus' name. And so, therefore, this book is a good book to encourage us of the blessing that we have, many blessings. One of them is the blessing of prayer and fellowship with God. We can talk with God. One of the many blessings we inherit by believing in Christ is having the privilege of prayer. We learn from the scriptures the truth that we can be involved like Abraham and David and Daniel, all of whom were people of prayer. Let's not be deceived by the myth that prayer is only a church ritual.
That's right.
The truth for Christians is that anyone can pray anywhere and at any time. Some people imagine that God is more likely to hear the religious leader than themselves. The inspired Word of God teaches us that all believers are priests, and that means that we have privilege then of entering in boldly under the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Amen. In fact, Dr. Phelps, I notice I'm holding one of your books in my hand. Notice on the back of the book, it has several quotes, and I have appreciated quotes from renowned people for all of my study academic life. Here's a statement, says, prayer gives you courage to make the decisions you must make, and then the confidence to leave the results to the higher power, General Eisenhower. And then prayer in 1777 at Valley Forge saved the Continental Army and won the war for American independence, says Paul Lee Tan. And then Bill Hybels says, someone has said that when we work, but when we pray, God works. It's a good statement. Another one by D.L. Moody, pray in faith, reverence, humility, fervor, and simplicity. Then Henrietta Mears said, labor in prayer, then watch God work.
Amen.
And that's about the size of it. Ladies and gentlemen, what I want to do by introducing Dr. Phelps' book on prayer, God Works Through Prayer. Let me just say this today. Love to have you have this book in your hands. What we're going to do today on this day, on this broadcast today and today only, is this little book. It's not a major book, but it is a very powerful book on prayer. I commend it to you. All of those that call in today and ask questions, have dialogue and discussion with us on this subject of prayer, perhaps you have a unique answer to prayer. Perhaps you have some unique insights on prayer or some questions about your prayer life. If you would be kind enough, when you call in for the dialogue and discussion to join into the discussion today, leave your contact information with Roger at the desk as he answers. God works through prayer. Leave your name and address and a way that we can ship this to you. We'll ship this book to you free. We'll even pay the postage. We'd love to have it in your hands and looking forward to it. This gives us a little insight on your interest in the broadcast and whether or not you're tuned in, number one. And secondly, it provides a tool book in your hand that I believe everyone needs to have. I love books. I'd be admit to anybody I'm a bookworm. A lot of folks today in the modern era study online and look at text and things online. I like the hard copy in my hand. I like to look at the book, have some dialogue and discussion with the writer in the margin of the book. My bride can tell you can look in my library and some 12,000 or 13,000 volumes, and you can pull any book off the shelf, and you'll find, just thumbing through it, you'll find where I've made a little marginal note. No, I disagree. You're wrong. That's not what the Bible says. Or you're crazy or wonderful or amen. Some kind of communication that I've had with the writer. So I want this book to be in your hand. God works through prayer. So leave your name and contact information, address, so that this can be shipped to you, and we'll do so. Dr. Phelps, I believe the key to strengthen the Christian community is through prayer. In fact, in Philippians 4:6, the scripture says, be careful for nothing. That word careful means to be anxious or worried. Be careful for nothing. That for nothing means literally not anything. We ought not to be careful. We ought not to be anxious. We ought not to be worried about anything, little thing, a big thing. But in everything, that is every little thing and every big thing, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, keep on speaking, keep on going, keep on serving. With thanksgiving, keep on letting your request be made known unto God. That's always been a favorite verse of mine, is that we're not to worry about anything. We're not to be anxious over anything, but keep on praying and thanking the Lord. Tell us something of your insight on that verse and what it should mean and how people should respond to that, especially those that are Christians. I believe that we need to use this as kind of what I call a little key verse about prayer in the life of a Christian.
One of the things I've learned from that passage of Scripture is that the Lord wants us to be always involved in prayer. And that's something that Jesus also taught in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I believe he's telling us that we need to be involved in prayer. It's something that we need to be participating in all the time. And one of the passages of Scripture also like that is found also in John chapter 14. And that's the passage of Scripture that I used primarily as the basis for this book. According to John chapter 14, verses 10 through 14, we're not required to represent ourselves before the throne of grace, because when we ask, we do so in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you see, himself is retained as our advocate to represent us in the very presence of the Father in heaven. And that's found in the book of John, chapter 14, verses 10 through 14. You will see that that is taught there. Also in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 34, the scripture says it is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. The Apostle John also talked about that when he says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And the word advocate is just another word that means in our English language that we have a lawyer for our defense.
Amen.
In the presence of God. He represents us in the presence of the Heavenly Father. Therefore, I suggest that you and I can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So I suggest the priority of prayer.
Amen.
By that, I mean it's something that we need to give priority to do. It's my contention in this book that God works through prayer. If Christians fail to pray, we may not see God at work. All of the passages in the Bible where men of God prayed, we find that God answered by working in their behalf, working in their midst. So I suggest that you and I need to follow the instruction that Jesus gave, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And that word faint means to be fearful or to be weak, but we can be strong. Not to be faint-hearted.
Yeah, let me jump in there in a moment. To faint, not only weak and weak-hearted, to give up, but it means just to give up and quit. Let me think for a moment, if you don't mind the interruption at this point. But in, I believe it is in Luke 18, the story about the woman that kept going back to the judge, and she basically kept aggravating the judge, according to the scripture, wanting him to intercede on her behalf. And I say this, Dr. Phelps, because I believe we have many people today and perhaps many listeners that think that if you pray one time and you don't get an answer, if you don't get a response, if you don't get what you're asking for, that you just leave it alone. But we're talking about praying and not fainting. That is not giving up. Tell us about the widow woman that kept going to the judge in Luke 18 and what took place there. For example, it says, and yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And then, of course, the scripture is very clear that it's using that as an illustration of how we need to keep coming back and coming back to the Lord in prayer. And Dr. Phelps, one of the things that I find so often an individual will do, and I've seen it back. I recall back in my younger years, it's probably 50 plus years ago. Never will forget a man in our church when the pastor would call him to pray. He would stand and say the same thing. It was almost like stand up, wind up, push the button, says the same thing. Prayer is not just continual with idle words. Our listeners need to understand prayer is a believer having direct communication and conversation with God. In fact, based on the scripture, we're to pray for everything. What does it mean, everything, ladies and gentlemen? Pray for our president, pray for protection, pray for our provision, pray for the problems we're faced with, pray for other people, pray for our political leaders, pray for the promises that God's made in the scripture. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need, according, kata, based upon his riches in glory, by, this little Greek word dia means through, Christ Jesus. So Dr. Phelps, continue to share with our listeners today about your book and about God works through prayer and what is the priority of prayer. Why should we continue to place that on the top of the list as far as our prayers and what we're doing?
The Bible teaches us that you and I are a people of prayer. We have the wonderful privilege of participating in prayer according to the Word of God. We're not just to be spectators in the bleachers watching those who are participating in the fight.
Right.
But we are to be participants in prayer. Bible tells us that we can participate in effective prayer. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. And we can only do that as we continue to pray, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, according to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. We should be praying continually for one another, praying for the Lord's work to be done. Pray for your pastor. Pray for one another. Pray for your family. Pray for the victory in each of the person's lives that you know. Pray for our country. The Bible tells us that we should pray about everything. Mm-hmm. There are those who have learned to pray, and we believe that we can participate in effective prayer. We're to pray in Jesus' name. Jesus said that if we shall ask anything in his name, he will do whatever we ask in John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. So that's the one of the keys to our participation in effective prayer. We cannot ask in our own name, but as I indicated, we have one at the right hand of God who is our advocate with the Father, and we can ask in his name.
Yes. I believe we have a caller on the line, Dr. Phelps. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hey, I got a quick question. Since winning them in the Church of Jesus Christ, the real church, many leaders decided not to have prayer services. Because in my community, the Hispanic, when we buy a building, hey, you're paying for that mortgage, and you're going to utilize that building as much as you can. And it's sad to say, but in many churches that I drive by, they close collecting dust almost every day of the week, and they only open on Sundays. My question again is, since when this new wave or remove the prayer services from churches started? I think that's the main reason why we got so many anemic Christians. Than anything offend them, they don't stand up for the truth because they don't have that foundation, which is the prayer. It's so needed. And I'm waiting for your answer. I'm going to keep listening. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm glad you asked that question. We're living in an era today when we're watching the what I'm calling the demise of the church. And I'm not talking about the church, the body of Christ, but the demise of the church as an organization. The organism, that is the true body of Christ, will continue to serve and to honor and to worship and to pray. But what we're watching today is the apostasy, the falling away. Multitudes of churches today are closed on Sunday evening. They're closed on Wednesday evenings and just have a service on Sunday mornings. I'm personally offended by that, bothered by that, saddened by that. I have found down through the years, we want to go by the modern trends. I'll never forget a number of years ago when the Jaguars first came to Jacksonville, the media did an interview blitz across the city, contacting the churches, larger churches, smaller churches, in between size churches. Never will forget the media calling me and said, with the Jaguars having the football games on Saturday, on Sunday that is, did we intend to shorten the services or diminish or discontinue the services so that the members could go to the football game on Sundays? And I said, absolutely not. And she said, do you mean you don't want your members to go to the football game? I said, not if it's on Sunday. Not if it's going to interfere with the work of God and the Word of God, no. And she said, well, I've talked with some of the larger churches, and they're going to shorten the services or change the services to Saturday nights so the members can go to the football games on Sunday. I said, count me out. You can put me down in the list that we're going to keep on keeping on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, because I believe that's what God will have us to do. And yes, you're exactly right. We're in an era today that we have powerless preaching because of prayerless people. We have a powerless church because of prayerless Christians. And I believe it's time that we get back to the biblical basis and be what God's called us to be. Dr. Phelps, you agree with that statement?
Yes, sir. I believe that prayer is a priority. I believe that worship is a priority. I believe that it's important that we as Christians support our local church, and we should not forfeit the privilege that we have of being under the sound of the Word of God in a place of worship, place of prayer.
It is wonderful to know that when we pray, God responds. Now, that doesn't mean that every prayer, and Dr. Phelps, I think in a moment we'll talk about this. I believe a lot of people get disappointed. They pray, God help me to do this. God find me a job. God keep my loved one alive. God provide the food, clothing, and shelter. And so often there's a mindset that God did not hear. And so as a result of not having an immediate answer, we need not pray. I'm looking at a little illustration list, and I've enjoyed illustrations down through the years. This is one about prayer, pray for our nation. It says, prayer in 1620 safely guided the Mayflower with the Pilgrims to the New World. Prayer in 1623 saved the Pilgrim Fathers from starvation. Prayers in 1777 at Valley Forge saved the Continental America Army and won the war for American independence. Prayer at Philadelphia saved the Continental Convention and gave birth to the American way of life. Prayer in 1857 saved America from economic destruction. It was prayer in 1918 that ended World War I and the lack of prayer that started World War II. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the need for prayer today, I believe, more than anything else. Dr. Phelps, continue, if you will, for a moment, your thoughts about the priority of prayer and what we need to do as we go toward the break time, but continue to share with us what the priority of prayer should be in the life of a Christian.
We're talking about the priority of prayer. Someone has written a little song that I'm just going to read, not sing, by Johnny Lang, L-A-N-G-E. He wrote this little song that I really like. It says, keep your Bible with you. Read it every day. Always count your blessings and always stop to pray. Learn to keep believing and faith will see you through. Seek to know contentment and it will come to you. I found the answer. I learned to pray. With faith to guide me, I found the way. The sun is shining for me each day. I found the answer. I learned to pray.
Amen. I like that.
That's a good one. And we believe that the scriptures teach us that one of the activities that you and I can be involved in daily and quite often daily is this matter of prayer. Prayer should be a priority for us.
Yes, in fact, I don't know who made the quote or who said this, but someone said 7 days without prayer makes one weak, W-E-A-K, and that's a very powerful statement. It was C.H. Spurgeon that says, groanings which cannot be uttered are often prayers which cannot be refused. It was D.L. Moody that said, a man who prays much in private will make short prayers in public. Tell us a little more, Dr. Phelps. We've got about a minute and a half before our news break time, but tell us a little more about the priority of prayer.
Well, one of the things that I've learned through the years, and I'm so thankful that I have learned this, that prayer is not just a matter of asking God for things. Prayer is a part of my devotion to God, by which I give thanks, I praise the Lord, I commit things to Him, I talk with Him about everything in my life, and the scriptures tell us that this is so important for us. In Psalm 92, verse 1, the scripture says, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise unto thy name, O Most High.
Yes.
And that's just part of what prayer means. We have a wonderful privilege to pray.
Yes. In fact, someone says when the outlook is bad, try an uplook.
Yes.
And that is going to God in prayer. Martin Luther said he set apart 3 out of the best hours each day for his time in prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break for our news. Be right back with you in just a moment. Don't turn your dial. Tune in. Come right back in just a moment after the news. Let's face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.